Bethlehem is the birthplace of Jesus. And as Christmas approaches, our thoughts turn to this small town in the Holy Land, where the Christian message began. But 2,000 years after that momentous nativity, how many Christians are still living in the town where Jesus was born? Once a majority Christian town, Bethlehem has seen the number of Christians living there steadily dwindle, and this is a pattern repeated across the rest of the Holy Land. Some fear that if this emigration of Christians continues at its present rate, there could be no resident community of Christians left in the Holy Land within a few generations. The separation barrier between Israel and the Palestinian territories has hit Bethlehem particularly hard by effectively cutting off easy access to and from the nearby city of Jerusalem. The restrictions on movements caused by the separation barrier, together with the Israeli military checkpoints, the economic blockade, high unemployment, and the ongoing stalemate in the Israeli-Palestinian peace process, are all factors encouraging Palestinian Christians to turn their back on their native land. And these same factors also discourage pilgrims from coming to see the holy sites. Brother Peter Bray is the Vice Chancellor of Bethlehem University, a Catholic institute of higher learning open to students of all faith traditions. He spoke to me about the current mood of Bethlehem's inhabitants in this Advent season and the daily difficulties they have to endure.
Well, I think Bethlehem is such a special place, and the reason it's special is because of Christmas. And so there is a sense of anticipation, I suppose, as Christmas approaches and the festive lights are going up around Bethlehem, along the power lines, along the power poles and around houses and streets and whatever. And so even though the Christians are a minority here, the Christmas season is a really, really important season for the town. And so there's an obvious build-up of anticipation as Christmas does approach.
But is there a lot of unemployment and hardship, because of course the impact of the security barrier makes travelling between Bethlehem and Jerusalem all but impossible for some people, and extremely very difficult. Can you tell us a little bit about how families are managing to cope?
Well, unemployment is a real issue here in Bethlehem. Prior to the apartheid wall going up, the people from Bethlehem used to be able to go into Jerusalem and find employment there. Now, for people to get employment in Jerusalem, they have to have a special permit, which isn't easy to get. And then they have to line up to go through the security wall and through the checkpoints. And often that's 3-4 o'clock in the morning, they have to go and line up there. So a lot of people are unemployed here in Bethlehem. One of the things that has happened is over the last few years, the number of pilgrims coming to Bethlehem has increased. And up until Christmas of last year, that was generally building. And then, of course, we had the Gaza debacle, and people associated the destruction of Gaza with the Middle East. And so through January, February, March, really, of last year, there was a huge fall-off of pilgrims coming to Bethlehem, and that had a very serious impact. In the latter part of this year, that is improving, and there have been, over the last few months, an increase in the number of pilgrims. And with people coming into Bethlehem, the pilgrim or tourist trade is a very, very important part of the economy here. So if people are coming, then it's better off for people who are here. And there are very limited opportunities for people to gain employment here in Bethlehem. So there are a lot of families who are struggling, and particularly if there's a fall-off in pilgrims coming into the place. So there are a lot of NGOs and church institutions that are helping people who are struggling. But, you know, I'm under no illusion that, say, people in some of the refugee camps are very, very poor. There's no doubt whatsoever about that.
You talked there about the impact of the security barrier. I mean, it's not just on the visitors who come in, but of course on the inhabitants as well. But looking at the visitors, first of all, as we were talking about the importance of getting pilgrims coming, how much do they have to queue? I mean, how sort of laborious is it to go through these security barriers?
Well, it depends. Most of the pilgrims come in buses. Now, I came back from Jerusalem two nights ago around about 5:30, and there would have been probably 12 buses and probably 30 or 40 cars lined up on the Bethlehem side of the wall waiting to go through. Now, I don't think any of the pilgrim buses have any difficulty in getting through once they get to the checkpoint. But see, they would be waiting there half an hour, three quarters of an hour, to get through the barrier. Now, some of the tour operators are unhappy about that because it's a loss for them because it means they can't go to the other places that they were intending. And so one of the difficulties that can arise from this is that tour operators will avoid Bethlehem because they don't want to go through the hassle of going through the checkpoint. Then that affects the people here in Bethlehem. So one of the things that I find irritating, I suppose, is the nonchalant way in which the soldiers at the checkpoint treat people. They don't care about the fact that there's a huge line of cars and buses waiting. It's not helpful to tour operators in the way in which that's done.
And when it comes to inhabitants who, of course, have to put up with it on a daily basis, I mean, do you hear a lot of grumbles about it, and what sort of time is wasted? How long does it take, for instance, nowadays to get from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, which is only about 8 miles, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it varies on the time of day and how many people are there. Sometimes it's taken me 20 minutes. Other times it's taken me over an hour to get through. And I had a function at Notre Dame earlier in the year, and I allowed myself an hour. I had to be there at 5:30. I left here, left home at 4:30. I was still about 20 cars from the checkpoint at 5:20, and I was supposed to be in Notre Dame at 5:30. So it depends. Some of our employees here, one man who worked at Bethlehem University for 24 years and lived in East Jerusalem, and sometimes he could come through in 20 minutes, quarter hour. Sometimes it could take him 2 hours, and that's one of the reasons he left here. But people who are working in Jerusalem, who have to walk through which is a different checkpoint to the ones the cars go through, they can be waiting there for 2 or 3 hours to get through. In particular, if they're Palestinians, they're treated with a lot more suspicion than expats from other countries. For the Palestinian people, the whole experience of going through the checkpoint is a degrading one and often a humiliating one. And I have to say that one of the things I have found most distressing for Palestinian Muslim men, one of the important things for them is the standing and the respect they have from their family. And I have seen men being humiliated in front of their children by Israeli soldiers who are young enough to be their son. And I'm wondering, you know, what must that do inside that man to realize that he's being humiliated by this young soldier in front of his children? It just seems to me such if they want to make security an issue, which I think it's way out of proportion, but if they want to make it, okay, but treat people with dignity, not humiliate them and embarrass them in front of their children.
So would it be fair to say there's an awful lot of resentment against this security wall, and people are not just sort of getting used to it and now have given up on any hope of trying to get the Israelis lift some of these restrictions or make it speedier to get through?
Well, their experience has taught them to be careful, because I've heard stories about people in cars coming to the checkpoint and being having to wait, and then a whole series of them hooting their horns, and the Israeli soldiers have just walked away and sat down and wouldn't let anybody through. The thing is that Israel has absolute control politically, economically and military. And the Palestinians, how do you counter that? How do you counter the fifth strongest army in the world with nothing? The Palestinians really don't have any way of countering that. And that's why, for us here at Bethlehem University, one of the things that we've become very aware of is that Palestinians are investing in education. Because of all of the things that Palestinians have, education is the thing that the Israelis can't take away from them. And so that's what they're investing in. And that's why Bethlehem University has such an important role here in Bethlehem, and particularly for the Christians here in the Middle East or in Palestine.
But what kind of jobs do your students get when they graduate? Because as you said earlier, you know, there's a lot of unemployment. How easy is it for them to get a job, and how many of them end up going abroad?
Well, it depends on what they've studied. For example, most of our nurses, people who graduate from our nursing faculty get jobs. Most of our teachers who graduate from the Faculty of Education get jobs. Most of the people who graduate from our Institute of Hotel Management get jobs. The difficulty is people who graduate from the Faculty of Science or some parts of the Faculty of Arts and people who graduate from the Faculty of Business, I'd have to say, lose a lot of people from the Faculty of Business after they graduate down to the Gulf. Some of them also go into Jordan. But, unemployment is a real issue. There's no doubt about it. And because Israel controls the economy of Palestine, in some ways there's very little that the Palestinians can do about it.
A lot has been said about the fact that Christians are emigrating from the Holy Land, that a percentage of Christians living there has gone down drastically over the last 40 or so years. Are Christians continuing to leave? Are people very worried about this trend?
Oh, yes, I think there is a real concern about it. One of the things that I think it's important to keep in mind is that while there are still some Christians immigrating, the important thing, I think, to remember is raw numbers. See, one of the things that is happening is that the Muslim population here in Palestine are having much bigger families than Christian people, and the percentage of Muslims is growing.
But, I mean, people there mostly still believe that there can still be, in a generation's time, a viable Christian community?
Well, I think that's the case, that people do believe that, you know, there are Christians who are moving back to Bethlehem and back to Palestine because this is where their roots are. I was speaking to somebody just recently who was saying that they'd been in the United States, I think, for something like 7 years, and they missed their family, they missed their culture, they missed Bethlehem, because there's something really special about being here where it all started.
I was speaking to Brother Peter Bray of Bethlehem University.